The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
As expected, on Saturday, South Carolina's Republican Party Executive Committee decided to cancel the 2020 presidential preference primary in support of re-election of President Donald Trump. Of course, we also learned yesterday that former governor, former Congressman Mark Sanford says that he is, in fact, going to challenge Donald Trump in the contest next year. Many of you commenting on that on the Big Rock text line, 877-235-9405. George from Anderson says, who is footing the finances for Cry for Me Argentina? Ed and Pickens, hey Joey, if the Republican Party has lost its way, truly lost its way, you can rest assured it was not lost on the Appalachian Trail. And Philip has a new contest idea, Tommy. He wants us to have a contest to guess Trump's nickname for Sanford. He's thinking it might be Hiking Mark.
I don't know. This could get very interesting.
Could be. Nate Loyp, chairman of the Greenville County Republican Party, joining us for a few minutes on the guest line. So, Nate, of course, we talked on a Friday, I believe it was, and you kind of thought that the vote was going to go the way it did on Saturday. Here's what I don't quite understand, though. Maybe you can help me out. And next hour, Drew McKissick is going to be joining us as well. If a delegate from South Carolina goes to Charlotte next year, and they want to cast a vote for Mark Sanford, how does that work?
Each convention writes its own rules regarding their delegates being bound or unbound. Last convention, the delegates passed a rule that we're all bound according to who won the state. Drew's going to be the expert on that, so I'll defer to whatever Drew says. But more than likely, the delegates will technically not be bound. I believe we will just elect pro-Trump delegates for all of our 50.
Okay. And when does that happen? When will y'all actually elect the delegates?
There's two different processes for the election of the delegates. Each congressional district gets to elect three. And then there are, I believe, three automatic, which Drew would be one, and our two national executive committee. And then I believe there's 23 that get elected at the state level, at the state convention. This will all happen next spring.
Okay. And those will be, it'll come from, so let's see, I've kind of lost my train of thought here as far, do you guys reorganize next spring?
We just had our reorganization.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And then we will have district conventions.
Okay.
Each congressional district. Greenville and Spartanburg comprise the fourth congressional district. So we'll get together sometime in April or May, I believe. I believe it's April. And we will elect our three delegates to the national convention from Greenville, Spartanburg. And I had the privilege of being one in 2016. I hope to be one again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to commit to Trump already. I believe we'll see across the state the same thing happening.
Nate Loyp, chairman of the Greenville County Republican Party. Yeah, you spent some time with me in Cleveland on my afternoon show at the time, and we'll be just up the road in Charlotte in 2020. Hey, Nate, appreciate you calling in. Have a great Monday.
You too, Joey.
Always good to talk with you. Nate Loyp, chairman of the Greenville County Republican Party, and of course, Drew McKissick will be joining us next hour too. I want to find out. I want to get a clear answer to that question on, if a delegate wants to cast his vote for Mark Sanford, can he or she do that? Texter writes on the Big Rock text line, Sanford didn't worry about debt and spending when he used taxpayer money to have an affair in Argentina and ruin his marriage and embarrass our state nationally. He needs to go away, Cheryl writes. Ed and Pickens, hey, Joey, the Republican Party has lost its way, truly lost its way. You can rest assured it was not lost on the Appalachian Trail. George from Anderson asked the question, who is footing the finances for Cry for Me Argentina? And Philip wants us to have a new contest to guess President Trump's nickname for Sanford. He's saying maybe Hiking Mark. 877-235-9405. Your comments are welcome on the Big Rock text line as well. As expected, South Carolina's Republican Party, the Executive Committee on Saturday, chose to cancel the 2020 presidential primary and support the reelection of President Donald Trump. Joining me for a few minutes, Drew McKissick, Chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party. Mr. Chairman, welcome in on Monday morning.
Good morning, Joey. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I hope you are.
I'm doing fairly well. I've had a little bit of a bad cell phone service patch, so sorry it took me a few minutes to get to you.
That's all right. Hey, you're here now. That's a good thing. All right, so, Mr. Chairman, on Saturday you guys met, here's a quote that I read from you. With no legitimate primary challenger and President Trump's record of results, the decision was made to save South Carolina taxpayers over $1.2 million and forego an unnecessary primary. Yesterday, of course, former South Carolina governor, former Congressman Mark Sanford officially announced his intention to jump into the race. Let's talk for a minute. And here's the question I have that I'm not quite sure on. Let's say that in Charlotte next summer that there's a delegate from South Carolina who wants to vote for Mark Sanford. Well, what's that process? How does that look?
Well, so the first off, the function of, at least in South Carolina, every state's different. Every state has different party rules. Here in South Carolina, when we have the presidential preference primary, the function of it is to bind delegates to vote for the winner of the primary on the first ballot at the convention. That is the only function that it serves, actually.
Okay.
The delegates themselves are elected from our state convention, which will be held next May. And of course, based on the identity of those delegates, which, you know, those are the same delegates that just reelected me chairman about 3-4 months ago. That's a group of people who are solidly and completely supportive of President Trump. The idea that those people are going to elect non-Trump delegates, I think is a absolute zero in terms of probability.
Sure.
But in terms of the rules, just, you know, talking about the rules there in that sense about how delegates are bound or not bound. In that case, technically, they are not bound because we have not had a primary. So, Mark or other candidates who are out there saying, oh, we don't get a chance to compete because they're not having a primary. Well, that's not true because, you know, actually, you want to be specific about it, we're saving them money because essentially they've only got 52 people to campaign them on. That's the eventual delegates that we're going to be electing to the national convention.
That's a couple million dollars
on television, you know, so there you go.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Drew, because, yeah, just spend your time courting those 52. That's a lot easier than running all over the state trying to gather votes.
Which, quite frankly, is the way that it used to work. Before actually primaries ever came about, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I remember the day, Drew. I was involved in local party politics way back when Lee Atwater and Carol Campbell and those, we had the first South Carolina presidential preference primary.
Right.
Yeah.
1980 was the first time that we did that.
Yep.
And we did the same thing in 1984 and the same thing in 2004 that the state committee did this past Saturday, which was to vote not to have a primary when we had an incumbent Republican president in the White House. The same thing the Democrats did when Clinton was in the White House and when Obama was in the White House. So there's nothing different here.
Sure. Yep. By the way, just a quick sideline here. I was moving some stuff out, trying to clean some things out of my desk that had accumulated for years and years and years. And I found an old program, and this was at the RNC that was in New York. So when would that have been?
That would have been 2004.
Okay, yeah. I was there working Radio Row, but I happened to find this, and I opened the page, and when I opened the book, there was your name. I guess you were a delegate that year.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So I've been to every convention since 1988, actually.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so...
goes back a while.
Yeah, so our paths may have crossed back then, but... all right, so let's talk for a minute then. So obviously, Charlotte next year, next August, and by the way, I still don't have a room up there yet still. American Express hasn't worked that out. I may be having to stay with you, Drew.
You're going to have to use some of your points, man.
There you go, yes. So on Saturday, when you guys were talking about this, was there anyone who supported having the presidential preference primary?
Just out of the entire room, there was one vote in the other direction. So it was like 45-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was the final vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty almost unanimous then. Pretty solid support.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting time, again, as you and I discussed before a couple weeks ago. You know, when Mark Sanford was over in Anderson at Jeff Duncan's Faith and Freedom Barbecue, I asked him specifically, you know, why he was there. And he said, well, you know, I'm here to kind of gauge my support and see in which direction the wind blows. Well, you know, I didn't see a lot of support for Mark Sanford. People were courteous pretty much, although there was that time that the chant started, you know, going within the room. But surely Mark Sanford did not pick up that there was some port in that room for him.
No, not in that room. And again, as soon as he hit it for the TV cameras, you had crowds of Trump supporters that would crowd up behind him. And that was all organic. I mean, there was no, you know, hue and cry for Mark Sanford in that room. Look, I put it this way, quite frankly, if there were a political market for a President Sanford, then we would still have a Congressman Sanford. And primary voters in the first congressional district rendered that verdict last year.
Yeah.
And look, even the Post and Courier conducted a poll of South Carolina Republicans statewide, which had Mark at something like 2% and
right.
Trump at 95 or something like that. So I think the market has spoken.
Yep. Yep, I think you're right. Drew McKissick, thanks for your time this morning. Always good to talk with you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joey.
Sure thing.
Take care.
Chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, Drew McKissick.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.